was a vampire. Sent to drain.
Back at it on a Wednesday. This part of the program brought to you by DTE Energy, providing safe, reliable natural gas to customers across Michigan. DTE Energy, know your own power. Always good to be powered by DTE. The Common Sense Hotline, 888-900-9966. We'll probably take more calls tomorrow. Going to get some of your calls on the air tomorrow, 888-900-9966. The reason being is after we get through the vote today, which is almost a lock. What'd you say? Which is almost a lock for impeachment to occur. Once we get through that, I want your feedback. Does it make you more or less likely to support the president in 2020? Does it make you determined? Does it anger you enough to make sure that you will go to the polls no matter what happens? What about the people you're talking to? What about the people you're talking to? Will they be going to the polls? Are there any that have flipped from Democrat to Republican or vice versa? These are all questions that will be coming up after today's impeachment vote. I don't know how many Democrats are going to vote against impeachment. Two for sure. Could be more. We'll see how it all shakes out. Diane Randall joining me now. She's the Executive Secretary of Friends Committee on National Legislation. Diane, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
As we look at the successes of the 116th Congress, I would say that most of the successes were absent Congress in many ways. This president's had a lot of successes on his own. He did get the USMCA to go through. Strangely enough, the Democrats agreed to that a year after it had been agreed to, more than that, actually, on the same day they announced articles of impeachment. That was a bit unusual, wasn't it?
So are you referring to, I'm not sure what you mean by embassy aid.
USMCA, I said. USMCA.
Oh, MCA. Yeah.
That was announced. I'm sorry if I wasn't clear. USMCA. They announced that the same day, an hour late, 45 minutes after the impeachment articles. It seemed unusual to
me.
What do you make of it?
Well, I think partly what we see happening is a Congress that is trying to do its job on many fronts. I mean, you know, obviously the Democrats feel like they're doing their job in moving through on the impeachment process, and they think that, and it's important that they're legislating on other issues as well, and that's what we're focused on, a whole range of issues that we believe it's essential for Congress to act on, and they have done favorably as far as we're concerned on some, and on other areas they have not. And so you know, it's a big job here, and for members of Congress. But we ask of them that they are doing work that's protecting the country, but that's also making it possible for people to have, you know, thriving, successful lives in this country. And there's a whole lot of legislation that can help do that.
Yeah. In fairness, though, the majority of 2019 has been burned up on one topic, and that is two topics: Russia collusion, which has proven to be not much at all. And, of course, the impeachment, which is the thinnest, most partisan impeachment in American history. So the legislation, there was not a lot that happened. I mean, we've got a few things that happened, but not a lot, because everything was consumed by those two stories.
Well, I guess the question is sort of what, I mean, there's also the issue of what the media is focused on and what's happening on the Hill in Congress. And so we did see the House pass a number of bills that the Senate has not taken up yet, bills that we think are probably pretty important to the vast majority of the American people on election security and election integrity. H.R. 1 was passed early in this year, has not yet been taken up by the Senate. There was legislation on universal background checks passed by the House, but again, not taken up by the Senate. And so,
These are all ideas that are fairly far left of center. They're not going to be taken up by Mitch McConnell. And just because you put a bill up doesn't make it responsible.
You know,
it doesn't make it something
fairness,
to be taken.
If 97% of the people support universal background checks, I wouldn't say that those are far left. I would say that that's a huge majority of the American population.
And
I think a huge majority of the American population care about voting and want to see everyone have access to the ballot.
All right, so explain to me, hold on.
Those are huge issues.
Explain to me what a universal background check is in comparison to what we already have. Because right now you cannot buy a gun without a background check. And the chance of buying a gun at a gun show is zero because everybody there is a federal firearms license dealer, every show I've ever been to, and I've been to many. So you have to have an FFL to sell a gun at a gun show. There is no such loophole. It's a fallacy. So what is this universal background check?
Well, people can buy them on the Internet. That's one of the problems.
Yeah, you have to have a background check on the Internet, too, because the gun has to be delivered to a federal firearms licensed dealer. It can't go to a private residence without an FFL background check. So once again, it's a fallacy.
Well, I think we disagree on that.
It's nothing to disagree on. It's the law. It's the law.
Well,
the law, Diana, is that you have to go have a gun. If you buy a gun online, it's shipped to a federal firearms licensed dealer, period. There's no argument. That's the way it's done. It's the federal law.
The fact is that people are acquiring guns without having a universal background check.
Yeah, we call those criminals. Those are referred to as criminals. Felons, we like to refer to those. There's a problem in Chicago, I've noticed. Okay, what other bills have gone forth?
So one of the bills that we're concerned about is a bill that we've been very favorable toward is a bill called the Global Fragility Act. That's a bill that tries to anticipate violent conflict before it happens and tries to prevent violent conflict. We all know that war is costly in human life and in expenditures, and I think, again, most people would agree that the prevention of war is a good thing. And so the passage of the Global Fragility Act that had bipartisan support and had support in both the House and the Senate is a really favorable step forward.
Well, sure, but isn't that the job of the United Nations? I mean, of course we agree that war is bad. I can agree to that. But what does it accomplish, this bill?
The bill sets up a procedure for our federal agencies, including the Pentagon, to look at what they can do to prevent violent conflict before it happens. And so, and there is efforts that can be done to really establish peace-building programs and policies. We all, again, we know that diplomacy and development and peace-building initiatives are essential to try to prevent war and to prevent violent conflict. You know, the U.S. is involved in a lot of, has troops in many locations, and we think that puts us at risk in some areas. It doesn't necessarily make this country safer. And so we're looking to establish a different procedure for how we engage in the world. It is important to engage in the world. We are a leader.
Mm-hmm.
But we can engage in other ways than the use of military force.
So let me ask you something. Do you support the statehood for the District of Columbia?
We do. We haven't lobbied on that directly a lot. But
well, sure you have. You just did. H.R. 1 is one of those things that lobbies for D.C. statehood. So you just did lobby on behalf of that. You're
right.
Also lobbying for the registration of children to vote. That seems unusual to me. Why would you want to register kids to vote?
Are you talking about 16-year-olds?
Well, yeah, those would be children. Those are minors in every state under every definition.
Mm-hmm.
So you think 16-year-olds should vote?
Well, it's not an issue that I have talked to people about directly, but I think that's certainly
well,
possible
you did.
Legislation that could be probable.
Diana, in fairness, you just said you support H.R. 1. This is one of the provisions of H.R. 1.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you do support it?
Yes.
There you go. Pretty simple. Good conversation. Next time I'll be more prepared to have a deeper conversation with you if you'd like to come back. Anytime. I greatly appreciate you stopping in.
Steve, Happy New Year and Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas, Diane. Greatly appreciated. Executive Secretary, President, Friends Committee on National Legislation. 16-year-olds should vote, okay? Got it. We'll be right back. You never want to make that call to the insurance company. I know I don't, but when you have to, you have to. I'm Steve Gruber, and that's why I trust Mauer Foster Insurance. Just recently, I had to make that call. My truck got banged up and it needed some work. I called Mauer Foster for answers. What a relief to deal with a team of professionals that knew exactly what I needed. It took one phone call, my repairs were in motion, and now I'm back on the road. So when anyone asks me, who do I trust for insurance? That's easy. Mauer Foster Insurance in Lansing.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, the most powerful voice for business in Michigan.
As a small business owner, you can be pulled in many directions. There are decisions that need to be made about your workforce, insurance, and taxes, not to mention all the decisions you need to make about serving your customers. There is one decision, however, that thousands of businesses make each year, and that's the decision to become a member of the Michigan Chamber of Commerce. I'm Bob Thomas, Chief Operating Officer with the Michigan Chamber of Commerce. The Michigan Chamber works with companies of all sizes and types to deliver solutions to relieve the stress of running a business. With a combination of powerful advocacy and products and services to help your bottom line, your membership investment can add to your business success. At the Michigan Chamber of Commerce, we put our members in the center of all that we do. It's our job to fight for your business so you can keep running yours.
Join the Michigan Chamber of Commerce at michamber.com. The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, the most powerful voice for business in Michigan.
You know, people still walk up to me and say, man, have you lost weight? I'm Steve Gerber, and I did lose weight, a lot of it. I did it with My Pure Health Solutions, formerly Nutrimost. I'm still surprised because it's been almost 2 years since I made the decision to drop the pounds. And with My Pure Health Solutions, I did it with a custom plan built just for me, and I'm so happy I did. I feel better. People tell me I look better. I lost 40 pounds. I still feel great. Find out more at GruberHealth.com. GruberHealth.com. That's GruberHealth.com. Believe me, if I could do it, so can you.